when you lean into struggle and really hard times with hope and a growth mindset, something really beautiful is on the other side.
Hey everyone, Emily Abadi here, bringing you part three of the Turning the Page series, a special 5-day event from Hurdle, a wellness-focused podcast where I sit down with inspiring individuals to talk about everything from their big wins to how they've gotten through some of life's toughest moments. On the show, you can expect vulnerability, motivation, and candid discussions with everyone from top athletes to aspiring entrepreneurs on what it really takes to follow your passions. My mission is simple: to inspire you to be your best self, move with intention, and have some fun along the way. And we're having a lot of fun today. I am so excited, so excited to be catching up with none other than Sadie Lincoln. She is the founder of Bar 3, and she was one of my first ever guests on the show. We are reminiscing all about that in today's episode. Literally, when Sadie gave me her time back when Hurdle was a little itty bitty baby show, I was just so humbled, so blown away, so appreciative. And it's fun because this was, you know, such a decent chunk of time ago that to have her back on the show is really special, because a lot of you who may be listening to this now may not have heard her original story. So if you haven't listened to Sadie's first episode, it is linked in the show notes, all of the details on how Bar 3 came to be. And today, like I said, we're catching up about all of the things, not necessarily every single thing from the last 3 years since we sat down last, but certainly about the last 9 to 10 months and what 2020 has been like for Sadie, has been like for Bar 3. She talks about teaching classes from her bathroom, which I absolutely love and can totally relate to, although my bathroom, as I insinuate in this episode, is quite small. And we also chat about how it's been interesting for her as an entrepreneur to see how the Bar 3 fanatics have taken to this workout over the pandemic, understanding the importance of being in sync with their body and mind, and also leaning into Zoom classes, maybe more so than other on-demand content, because they want that community. They want to be back on video with the people that they're used to hitting up the studio with. So found that really interesting. I find Sadie's perspective, as always, super refreshing. It is clear that she has had many a learning in her time. And again, just so grateful for her perspective. This episode will definitely put you at ease and give you some essential confidence that you can handle whatever it is that 2021 and beyond throws your way. Before we get into it today, I do want to give some love to my friends at Athletic Greens for making this Turning the Page series possible. I nearly fell off my chair when Sadie brought up in today's episode that I got her hooked on Athletic Greens. It's so funny to me. I gift every year, for the most part, guests that have been on the show their own box. And sometimes I hear about it, sometimes I don't. But in Sadie's case, she told me that, just like me, the daily drink completely transformed her morning routine. And you know, it's not a surprise to me. Once you give this stuff a shot, it may be hard to remember what life was like without it. It's got 75 whole food sourced ingredients, the antioxidant equivalent of 12 servings of fruits and vegetables, as well as so many other great things: prebiotics, probiotics, adaptogens, superfoods. The list is endless. You have got to try it for yourself. Trust me on this one. They've got a special offer just for Hurdle listeners. Head on over to athleticgreens.com/hurdle. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/hurdle. And with your first purchase, get a free year's supply of vitamin D, as well as 5 free travel packs. The travel packs are clutch. I promise you. Again, get a free year supply of vitamin D with your first purchase, as well as 5 free travel packs. As you're listening today, make sure to tag Hurdle over on social. It's at Hurdle Podcast, and I'm over at Emily Abadi. And if you could do me a solid, and please, if you like what you're listening to, rate and review the show in the iTunes store. And with that, let's get to hurdling. Today, I am sitting down with Sadie Lincoln. She is the founder of Bar 3. Sadie, I'm so excited to have you back on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'll go with okay today.
I think okay is a strong start. And I think that's something that's really beautiful about this year is that maybe we think a little bit more about answering that question truthfully.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no more errors about, like, no one's really crushing it right now, you know?
Yeah. I can totally relate. It's interesting to me as I think about, you know, you and I catching up today, because I started this show about 3 years ago from when this episode will be coming out. You were one of the first guests I had on the show. And man, so much has changed since then.
I can't believe it's been 3 years. I remember sitting in that little WeWork sound booth with you.
Oh my God, I miss it. I miss the subpar sound booth right now, the things I would do. It's crazy. And reflecting on that time, I mean, for me as an entrepreneur, as someone who was so passionate about this thing, I was so overwhelmed and grateful for your time and that you would come and sit down with me, because you were coming into the city and doing all these interviews. And I was like, come do this thing that is completely unheard of. And you were like, okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we don't need to completely catch up on all of the last 3 years, but talk to me about what's going on with Bar 3. Where are you guys at now?
Yeah, well, just to catch you up, we have 172 franchise studios. No, actually 6 of them are owned, but the rest are franchised. We're an owner-operated model, so all owned by women, 100% women run and owned. And how we model franchises, each owner basically has one studio. The most an owner has is 5 in the DC area, but most of our owners have one studio. And so she's really at the heart of the business and her community. And so I'm speaking on behalf of all those incredible owners. They are incredible. And I have to say, I'm so proud of them, because this model is in a sense paying off for us, because they've built such a emotional connection with the communities that they serve that we're hanging in. You know, people are taking our live stream classes. Many of our studios have had to close our doors once again because of COVID. So we're doing live stream classes from our studios, and our clients in those communities are choosing those live stream classes even over our much more premium digital online subscription product, which we've had since, I don't know, 2012, I think, because they have an emotional connection with those owners and the instructors that they love. And, you know, it's kind of like Brady Bunch style on the Zoom with your fellow clients doing Bar 3 together. So really troubleshooting as an organization, leaning big time into collective wisdom and learning from each other and best practices. And it's been a remarkable era for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you bring up a really interesting point. And obviously everyone is different in their consumption habits and, you know, what it is that they like from a digital streaming workout. But I do think there's something to be said for, you know, feeling like a part of something when so many of us are spending so much time, you know, either alone or just with one partner or with our families and not doing what we used to do. Like, just being able to be in an environment where it feels safe to be vulnerable. And I think vulnerability is such a big part of like fitness and sweating with other people. So it's interesting to me, the point that you brought up, knowing that you have had that greater digital streaming service for some time now, that these clients are still excited more so maybe about that, you know, at home, Zoom with my buddies kind of fitness.
Yeah. There's so many surprises underneath this really trying time that are beautiful. And one of them is just the sweetness of getting to know each other in our homes. You know, I'm doing bar three, for example, in my bathroom, like on my bathroom counter. And at this point, I don't care. Like maybe in the beginning, I would like, you know, clean up a little bit, but now it's just like, doesn't even matter anymore. And, you know, and I video on, like, I like that I can, you know, I'm seen, I'm part of something. I can, and, you know, I'm not focusing on everybody else, but I know that they're there in their sweet living rooms and, you know, wherever they're doing their workout with their kids running around and their dogs and, you know, whatever. And just those moments when the instructor calls us out and, you know, the before and after is, it's really a special, sweet moment. Yeah. And quite surprising. I mean, when we had to shut down the first time, there was so much grief. Mm. I mean, I turned to Chris, who's my husband and co-founder. And I was like, are we going to make it? Is this it? You know, there was that moment of, is this it? Yeah. And then within 72 hours, all of our owners had rallied and we were doing live streams and we knew we were going to be okay. But yeah, it's been amazing. Truly amazing. It's important to be a part of something.
I'm envisioning your bathroom to be like much bigger than my, like, I'm not even exaggerating here. I think my bathroom might be like 4 feet by 4 feet.
Yeah. Well, that's all you really need. The nice thing is with bar three, all you need is the real estate of a yoga mat. And maybe your yoga mat would have to fold in half. But,
folded yoga yeah. mat. Oh, man. I'm like thinking about doing bar in my bathroom and loving it. But I mean, you're not the only founder that does fitness in their bathroom. That's for sure. I think I read recently that John Foley has a Peloton tread in his downstairs bathroom.
We're just making it work, people. All right. We're making it work. A lot of people do bar three in their closets. That's
for sure.
It's where they can hide from their children.
I appreciate that. I have so much respect for that. So outside of, I mean, the resilience that you have seen in the Bar 3 community, talk to me a little bit more about how things have been going for you at home during this year.
Wow. Yeah. I'm a mother of two teenagers. I have a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old. And that's been, you know, epic, just trying to get them out of their bedrooms.
Are you TikToking a lot?
Am I TikToking?
Are you TikToking with them? Are they TikToking?
They TikTok, but they do it like they really like their separation of space from me. So I try to stay, you know, it's just so not cool to be a part of that world, you know? So I try to give them like some boundaries, you know, allow them to have their own space that way. But they certainly are. And that's been interesting, managing social media.
Oh, for sure.
In an era when they can't physically see their friends and just navigating, okay, what's healthy and what's not healthy? You know, how far can we go here? Because, you know, it is critical that they're connected.
For all of us, like social media, like setting some like smart boundaries on the fact that like we want this connection, but we also like cannot live our lives behind like looking at screens. It's been such an interesting, you know, effort to find this balance.
Yeah, I did a big kind of social media cleanse at the beginning of this where I went through and just gut read, like as I was scrolling through my like what Instagram is really truly feeding me. Like I'm in control of this experience and I let go. I kind of like did a cleanse. I let go of a lot of people I followed because it didn't make me feel good. And I think that's really important to consciously, intentionally be in control of our feed and what we're digesting. I rarely do this, but I just commented on an ad I saw, for example, in my Twitter feed. And it was a graphic, an illustration of, and it said like wanted, and it was like wanted, and it was alcohol. And there was a graphic of a woman with a huge, like bloated belly, gluten. And it was a different kind of bloated belly. And then sugar. And that was a little different. Like the, it was depending on what they were eating. That's what the ad was. And then the fourth image was mommy. And it showed an image of a woman with this like sagging belly.
Oh.
And it was selling fitness. And that's the kind of outrageous imagery that goes into our unconscious. Even if just seeing that gets in there, right? And is such an assault on our like self-confidence, ability to be honest and compassionate in our bodies. And obviously showing, like for any new mom to see that is outrageous, right? And so those are the kinds of things I think the reason I commented on it on my Twitter feed was just to give people that awareness. Like if you see something like this, delete it. Take a moment to know this is not real. this is manipulated and not healthy. Like just kind of even acknowledging versus just kind of scrolling by it quickly. I think that acknowledgement is really important.
I think that oftentimes we like can play a little bit of the victim, right? We're like, oh, I'm not feeling good about X or Y, but we keep scrolling and we don't take ownership over the fact that we have input as to what we see there, just like you're saying.
Yes, 100%. And just affirming it is a practice of rewiring your brain. And there's studies on that. If you affirm it, if you say it out loud, like this is not healthy and it's imagined. Like if you kind of just say that out loud and then delete, right? And then you see something that makes you feel good. Wow, this is true. This makes me feel good. Just the practice of acknowledging your truth. You know, it's something I talk to the kids about as well. I think it's so important right now.
Oh, for sure. Let's chat then about, now that we know what builds us up, what we need to focus on, where we should give our energy. Talk to me about, you know, 2020 from a I learned this perspective. I know that you learned the importance of what we're taking in. What else really hit home with you this year?
I learned that you cannot subtract social connectedness from the equation of our health and well-being. That social connectedness, physical and mental connectedness act together as a tripod, as a three-legged stool. And how incredibly important it is to stay unified and intentionally figure out a way to show up in the world where you're surrounded by community and people who see you and hear you and affirm that you belong. Mm-hmm. I've learned that. I'm just speaking even for myself. I've learned that. Like letting go of the people that maybe didn't serve me in the past and really consciously invite in people who elevate and inspire me. And then for me as a leader, creating an environment and an organization that invites that. And I mean, I feel such a sisterhood with all of our owners, for example. When we come together, we are unstoppable, you know, and there's something so powerful in that. And I think the other thing I've learned is that universally, we all struggle. It's so easy to feel alone and struggle. And that's so imagined. I mean, it is human to struggle. And because we're all going through this together, I think that's been a huge recognition for so many people. And I would say the third thing that I've affirmed, and this has been my life's work, so it's just been beautiful to practice in a new way. But I love the idea of and truth that whatever it is we practice, we become. Like my daughter can practice playing the piano. She becomes a great, you know, piano player. We can practice being at home in our bodies, literally and figuratively. The the race is canceled, the wedding's canceled, sadly, you know, the beach vacation, all the things are canceled right now. And the good thing about that is we are now exercising to be present and honest in our bodies and what we need in the moment versus trying to get ready for something. And that's a new way of relating to fitness that we need. And I think is a real gift right now. It's a real gift.
It is a real gift. And I love what you're saying. Like, you practice what you become. Like, that's so big. It's so much bigger than, you know, just the pianist or just someone. Like, I'm more than a runner because I run. Like, let's talk about practicing who you want to become as a human, right? Like, taking this time over the past 8-9 months and reflecting on how we are showing up, how you have become, you know, that leader, that person that welcomes and invites others and makes them feel safe.
Yeah, it's really an interesting lens to blend into fitness. And that's one thing that we've been doing at Bar 3 for many years, but now it's like, it's next level for us, is this idea of combining traditional fitness with mindfulness. When you think of mindfulness, my definition of mindfulness is paying attention on purpose, in the moment. And when you combine that idea with traditional fitness, you gain body, you practice body wisdom. So you practice honoring what your body needs in the moment while moving. And when you do that, two things are taken away from the fitness experience that contribute to why the vast majority of us struggle with fitness. And the first is pain. You take away negative pain when you combine traditional fitness with mindfulness, because what you do is you start to observe and notice, oh, I have negative joint pain during this plank, let's just say. And when you notice that and observe it honestly, it's like, oh, I need to get out of plank. But I think our mindset has been around fitness is, no, I'm going to stay in plank because I want to get the result. So I'm going to ignore the joint pain. And then we anchor fitness to pain. And that's not a good relationship with fitness. That's why so many people don't do fitness, because I think it's like 51% of people with injury attribute their injury to exercise, to fitness.
Right. But it's so much bigger than that.
Isn't it? I know. But think about it. So many people think of it. Like, I don't know about you, Emily, but like if I jump in a Lyft and I like tell the Lyft driver what I do for a living, if I say anything with fitness, usually people cringe. Like the vast majority of people cringe, like, ooh, yeah, you're a fitness person. I'm not one of those. The other is shame. Like, they're not working out in a way that's like mindful and congruent with what your body needs in the moment. And when you do that, it becomes an expression of who you are versus like pretending to be a fit person.
And I think that a lot of the time with shame, it's the people that are so focused on maybe what they want to lose instead of what they're trying to gain from their, you know, fit or wellness experience.
Yeah. And again, back to that graphic that I was talking about, of course we have shame. That's a learned behavior, a learned feeling. We aren't born into the world with shame in our bodies, but we are taught to shame our bodies every day, because it's a great way to manipulate someone to buy a product, is by saying, oh, you have that bloated belly, you need this, so that you'll be attractive, worthy, sexy, so that you will belong. And so we're taught that. We're taught shame, and we're taught that shame is anchored to fitness, and that fitness will make us have, you know, the body that will finally allow us to be happy. And that's a myth. It's completely not true. It's imagined, and it doesn't work. It's why so many of us struggle with being dissatisfied in our bodies. 91% of women in North America report body dissatisfaction. The vast majority of us are not happy in our bodies. That's learned. And just like I mentioned, whatever it is you practice, you become. We can practice unlearning that story, and we can practice being honest and compassionate in our bodies. And when we do that, we're truly empowered. And that's what gets me out of bed every day, is kind of unlearning that.
whether or not someone, you know, is actively turning on bar three programming, they hear you say that they, you know, they want that. They're part of the 91%. I would say that I'm part of the 91%. So the question that comes up is what, like, how can you start that conversation with yourself?
The first, it's a really simple question that I ask myself, and this is something we do in our studios as well, is ask yourself, just take one moment to ask yourself, what do I need right now? Then press play for your workout, whatever it is, and honor that and practice achieving what you need during that workout. And it might change, like halfway through the workout, it might be something different. Keep asking yourself, like as you're doing burpees, what do I need right now? You know, if the burpees are giving you what you need, keep going. If they are counter to what you need, then modify, change it up. Have exercise be a practice of being congruent with what you need. And that combination is beautiful. When you are your own best teacher in partnership with a guide and an instructor who really knows about alignment and technique and is motivational and has great playlists, you know, that is when the magic happens. But it truly is a partnership with your instructor versus just copying what the instructor is doing or what everybody else is doing in the room. It's a game changer. It's a total game changer.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, personally or professionally, either here, if you had to reflect on some of the best advice that you have been offered over the past 8-9 months, what would you say that it has been?
You know, I think for me, it's been around self-esteem, and less advice, but more like affirmation. We hired our new COO and president, Bruce Edwards, right before COVID struck. And he has been an incredible leader and partner for me. And I would say just him reminding me that my voice matters and to not shy away from speaking my truth and everything we're talking about on this podcast, for example, that matters just as much as our financials, our ability to scale and operate. You know, it's equally important. And that's always a thing for me because honestly, I'll go into a meeting and get advice counter to that. Like in so many ways, just like, okay, Sadie, just, you know, you kind of just tame your part of the meeting and the financials are way more important, you know, like, and just reminding myself, no, I need to keep speaking up for all these people. You know, I need to be the voice of this problem in the fitness industry. And it's really fascinating. I think I ignored how muted my voice has been over the years, or how I notice more now when people mute my voice or don't really understand me. And it's just such a lesson in remembering, no, like, trust your instinct, trust what you have to offer, and be courageous and show up that way. And Bruce has really, really been a cheerleader for me that way. And I kind of wish that for every woman, to be honest.
What excites you about the new year?
Anything but 2020.
You and me both, sister.
I'm really excited to put all this to practice. Like everything we've learned, whether it's basic human rights and becoming more attuned to that, or the importance of community and connection, or the accountability of our own health and well-being, getting to put everything that we've learned during this era to work in a more normal economy is what I'm most excited about.
What I'm most excited about. What has been, and I'm going to say aside from bar three, like something, whether it be like a product or a person that this year using this thing has helped you stay more sane, or it's been good for your health or something like that?
Okay. I'm just going to tell you the first thing that popped into my head.
Yeah.
Deepak Chopra and Oprah have a meditation series on hope. Ooh. And it's beautiful. I think it's on his website. I want to say it's like 21 days. And it starts with Oprah talking about a concept, whether it be like forgiveness and her take on forgiveness and what she's learned about it. And then Deepak deepens the idea and then gives you a mantra around it. And then it's a guided meditation and music around that theme. Oh, it's really cool. Yeah, it's really cool.
Final question for you here, Sadie. You right now have the opportunity to give the Sadie Lincoln back in April a piece of advice when she's looking at her husband and co-founder and she is saying, are we going to make it? You get to offer her a piece of advice. What do you tell her looking back on it now?
I think I would just tell her, because the experience was so, in so many ways, beautiful, and I would just remind her that when you lean into struggle and really hard times with hope and a growth mindset, something really beautiful is on the other side. And just to trust that. Lean into struggle, constraints, and even despair with an openness to learning. And that's, you know, all we can really do. And when we do that, that's when change happens. That's when innovation happens. So that's what I would remind her.
I am so happy that we got to have this chat. I love a woman with a growth mindset philosophy, and I appreciate you so, so much, Sadie.
I appreciate you and the inspiration and work you do in the world so much, Emily. This podcast is amazing.
Thank you. How do the hurdlers keep up with you? How do they keep up with Bar 3? Give me some details.
Sure. We have a challenge coming up in January and February that everyone can check out if you go to bar3.com, BARRE3.com. Lots of great practices planned and amazing guest instructors. And then, of course, our Instagram is bar3 and all the regular places, Facebook, Twitter. My personal Instagram is Sadie Lincoln. I'd love to stay in touch there. Oh, Emily, before you go, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
You gifted me Athletic Greens, I don't know, three years ago. Love. It's my fave.
And do you use it? You do?
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm a sucker. I mean, obviously I'm a sucker for it, but.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things. It's like you give someone a gift and I just want to make sure, you know, like it wasn't wasted on me, and I'm gifting it to my whole team this year. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I had to let you know.
Oh my God. First of all, I'm sure if the team from Athletic Greens is listening to this, they're going to totally geek out. But that makes me so happy. I mean, the thing is, and I'm sure that you feel this way as well. Like whenever you talk about something, like you just want to make sure that people know that it's something that like you actually use. And that's how I feel about all the sponsors I have on Hurdle, but yeah, especially Athletic Greens, because I literally drink it every single morning.
Yeah, it's awesome. I sneak it in my kids' smoothies and they love it too. So it's a win. Yeah.
Sneak. It's a sneak attack. Yeah. I love that. I am over at Emily Abadi and at Hurdle Podcast. Another hurdle conquered. Catch you guys next time.